Hi, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode 100. Can you believe it? It's been just a tad bit over 2 years since I started Soaring Eagle Radio. And the very first person that the Lord led me to talk with was Natalina. You know, Natalina played a very huge role in getting Soaring Eagle Radio off the ground and running. I've talked about that on other occasions. But she really is a dear friend to both Kathy, my wife Kathy, and myself. And I don't mind saying that without Natalina's help, I don't know that we would have got this off the ground. So it is my pleasure, my blessing, to welcome my good friend Natalina back to Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Natalina, how are you doing today?
Oh, hi, Mike. Oh, I'm doing so well. I will tell you this, though. I know that even without my help, the Lord would have gotten Soaring Eagle Radio up and off the ground. It's been a really important show. The Lord's been with you all the way, but I'm really feeling blessed that I could have helped. And I love that this is episode 100. This is awesome.
It is. And when we were approaching episode 100, I was talking with Kathy, and I said, you know, we need to do something special for episode 100, and I can't think of anything more special than to have Natalina back on the show. And you really do mean a lot to Kathy and I, and we have been able to keep in touch in these last 2 years, and that's a tremendous blessing. And I know, Natalina, you've experienced some things in the last year and a half or so, some family health concerns with your father and some other things it's gotten your focus in other places. So I know that folks that follow you and Extraordinary Intelligence would just love to hear what's been going on with Natalina. How about sharing that with us?
I would love to. You know, it's interesting because when you decide to take on a job like this, well, I won't even call it a job, but when you decide to take on a project like this, like a podcast, and, you know, like with my website, I've actually been doing it almost 10 years now, and the podcast for just few years. I think I started my website in 2008. So in 2018, it'll be 10 years. Might have been 2009, but yeah, 9 or 10 years. But you don't realize when you first start how visible you potentially are going to be. You kind of think of it as this little project that you're doing, and you're just by yourself in your office, and it's kind of to fulfill your own need to talk things out. And that's how it started for me. And as time has gone on and you start to build an audience, you realize that everyone kind of becomes invested in who you are, you know, as a person, and they want to know how you're doing. And when things go awry and things aren't always going super great in your life, you sort of end up feeling this obligation to let people know. And you get kind of, you feel kind of torn, because on one hand, it's like, this is very private, personal stuff that's happening in your life. And on the other hand, you know that, especially in what we do, you know, your audience is full of people who are going to pray for you, and they only want the best for you. And so I ended up kind of going on this wild journey in a very visible way. And I had a choice to make: either keep it all really private or just talk about it and hope that it could turn into a testimony. And it has, you know, it started really a few years ago when my marriage ended. And I won't get into too many details of that, but it largely had to do with my faith, and which I got saved in the midst of that marriage. And then the person I was married to, you know, I wasn't the person that he thought I was anymore. You know, everything had changed and he wasn't really prepared for that. So that happened. And I had to sort of navigate through those waters. And then my dad ended up getting really, really sick, to the extent that his health deteriorated extremely quickly. And I remember my mother had called and told me, you know, dad wasn't doing well, and could I maybe come down and just help her? So I went to my parents' home, which was about 300 miles away from where I was living, thinking that, you know, I'd maybe be there for a week or two, help make some doctor's appointments, help getting things figured out. And I ended up staying there for about a year. Yeah. When I showed up, I was not prepared for what I was going to see. My dad, who always was a pretty healthy looking man, was about 100 pounds. He normally, you know, is around 160. And he was emaciated, and he was terribly ill. And the one thing I don't get into a lot of detail about, because I feel like it's his business, not mine, but it is related to substances. And so that's kind of what triggered the decline. We made a decision to get him into the emergency room, and it just continued to go downhill from there. He got admitted into the hospital. His organs began to shut down. He got pneumonia. He slipped into sort of like a coma-like state, coming in and out. And it eventually got to the point where they couldn't even give him a feeding tube. His body was rejecting everything. And, you know, through this whole ordeal, I was just in his hospital room praying every day. And there came a point where the doctors came into the hospital room and sat down with me and said, you know, all of your father's organs are shutting down. He can't take in any food. His oxygen levels are super low. He can hardly breathe. We feel that the compassionate thing to do would be to let him go, which essentially translated into, you know, pull the plug on all of the IVs and oxygen and things like that, and just let him go. And it was really a hard time, because I had just been investing so much prayer, and I was so sure that the Lord was going to make him. I mean, I just had this feeling in my entire being that my dad was going to get better, and I couldn't figure out how we got to this point. I just felt like I had received so much assurance from the Lord that things were going to get better. And I was so mad. I got mad at God. I really did for a minute, you know, and I remember I went outside and I thought about it, and it didn't take me too long to come to the realization that I was being very short-sighted. And although things looked really dire, that did not for one minute change the assurance that the Lord had been giving me that my dad was going to get better, even in the face of doctors saying, you know, he's going to die. And so we went back up and talked to the doctors, and I said, I'm not giving up on my dad. And so what do we do next? What's the next plan? And they said, well, the only thing we can think of to do at this point would be to put him in a medically induced coma, put him into the intensive care unit, get him on a respirator, put him on some really, really high-powered antibiotics, because at this point his body had gone septic, and just hope for the best. And I don't know where this boldness came from in me, but I said, okay, that sounds like a plan. Let's do that. And to their credit, they said, all right. So that plan went into motion immediately. And, you know, when someone gets checked into the intensive care unit and it's a really, really dire looking case, they put you in this special little waiting room where it's just family only. And I remember we were sitting in there and the doctor came in and said, you know, it's not day by day at this point. It's hour by hour. And, you know, I just remember sitting in that intensive care unit. Everybody had gone home, and I just sat there all night with my dad. And every day I would just sit there all night and just pray, and I would sing to him. I'd sing him, you know, he liked old country music, and I would sing country gospel music to him. And I just knew he could hear me. I just knew it. And then, you know, one day he just opened his eyes, and I told the doctors, I was like, from my point of view, it looks like he's waking up. And, it just was quick. It was just fast. He woke up, and then he was looking around, and he started breathing on his own. They were able to take the respirator out. He had no more sign of infection in his body. The doctors were stunned, absolutely stunned. And then it just kept getting better from there. And, you know, they kept saying, well, okay, he's awake, but he's never going to eat on his own. You know, he's going to need a feeding tube. And then he just ate. He just started eating. And then they said, well, okay, great, he can eat, but he's going to be in a wheelchair his whole life. He's never going to walk. His legs are done.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know, he walked right out of that place.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
So, you know, it was about a year from start to finish, from the worst of it to where he was done with physical therapy and all of that, and he was independent and good to go. He suffered a bit of brain damage through all of it. You know, he lost a lot of oxygen. He had some strokes, but, you know, he's my dad. He's back, and he's healthy. He weighs 170 pounds now, and he's a short man. You know, we're all very short. My dad's only about 5'4" or 5'5", so he's a little bit chubby now, which I would rather see that any day.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the Lord did that. There's no question. There's no doubt. It's not a miracle of modern medicine. The Lord did that, and medicine was going to give up on him.
Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's one thing I picked up on, Natalina, as you were sharing your story about your dad, is that every step of the way, the medical community had no answer except, well, just, you know, give up. I mean, there's nothing we can do. And yet, the power of prayer there is clearly prevalent in the time that you spent praying, crying out to the Lord, and he answered you in powerful ways every step of the way.
He did, and it was so amazing to see the way the Lord worked, because, you know, my dad, he they had a church, but they weren't regular churchgoers. And so there wasn't really like a specific pastor to call on to come in for prayer. But I'm telling you what, the Lord sent so many pastors just randomly to my dad's room. There was a Lutheran and a Baptist and a this, you know, chaplain and that guy. And sometimes it was amazing. Sometimes it was as simple as they were going to visit a different patient and they walked into the wrong room and then they just decided to pray because they were there. It was so amazing.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I'm here. Let's pray anyway. What's your story?
Yes. It was cool.
That's very cool. Very cool. And I hope that encourages folks that are listening to this, Natalina, because you know, America as a nation, we've placed a lot of trust in the medical profession, and we should be thankful for what God has done in this nation and the technology and the medical profession. There are many, many, many compassionate, well-trained, highly educated doctors that give their all for their patients to make sure that they receive the best care and recover. But in light of all of that, let us never lose sight of the fact that God created these bodies. He knows us intimately. Even when we're sick, diseased, ill, near death, when the medical profession throws their hands up, God knows exactly what needs to be done.
Yeah, and what I really want people to take away from it, because I'm certainly not trying to undermine the situations where people are direly ill and they're just not going to win the battle, and the Lord he's ready to take them home. And I don't want families in that situation to feel discouraged. What I really want people to take away from it is to trust the Lord in all things. And what really speaks to me is when in the Bible it says, if you draw near to the Lord, he'll draw near to you. And then he's faithful through the Holy Spirit to really help you understand what's happening in the moment. And so when he was communicating to my heart that my dad was going to get better, I had to trust that. I feel that if it was my dad's time to go home, the Lord would have probably given me he would have maybe given me peace with the situation and comfort to let my father go. So it's just so much about trusting the way the Lord is speaking to us through prayer and how the Holy Spirit is guiding us. And that's what I have really taken from this. You know, some people, they don't understand that the Lord really, really does communicate with us, and not in a weird, you know, like audible way usually. But I think it's more just that he, if you really, really trust, he's going to give you that sensation of calm or peace. He's going to guide us. He's going to guide us into making the right decisions, but it requires a tremendous amount of trust. And, that's what I took away from it. You know, if the Lord is telling me that dad's going to get better, then none of these doctors are going to tell me otherwise.
Yes. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Well, you, and so dad's well now and things have turned around for him. And that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing and praise, of course. But you've recently also, I hope that this is okay to mention, but you've left the northern life and you've relocated.
Yes. How's that going? Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's kind of an exclusive on your show because I haven't been getting back to my podcasting yet since all of this has happened. But the last podcast I did was me saying, I'm moving in a couple of weeks. And now, as of yesterday, I've been here in Arkansas for 6 months. And one of the other really wonderful things that the Lord did in my life is that he brought a really wonderful, loving Christian man into my life. And that was another situation where it just required a tremendous amount of trust. You know, it was a long distance relationship initially, and we were able to build the spiritual side of our relationship before we were ever, you know, face to face, and we just both prayed on it and trusted the Lord. And he lived here, and I lived way up in North Dakota. And yeah. Once my dad got better, it was time for me to come down here and be nearer to him. And that's what happened. And it's been lovely. It's been wonderful. And I've been here for 6 months now, and it's a culture shock.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
It really is, but I really love it. And I mean, it's just, you know, I feel like this is home now, and it's just, I cannot describe how content I feel after the past few years of turmoil.
Yeah, it's probably a sense of contentment that, you hadn't experienced in a couple of years, and you wondered if maybe you would again. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Natalina. So,
well, I would go even a step further and say it's contentment I've never felt. Oh, and, you know, when I got saved, the Lord delivered me from such tremendous battle with anxiety. And that was such a blessing. What, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if the last time that I was on your show, you know, when I would tell my testimony, I always sort of ended it with like, and the Lord delivered me from this anxiety, and I'm so much better now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Which is a great thing, but that's not the end of the testimony. That was a bit short-sighted, because I still struggle with anxiety. And, you know, initially I felt a little bit mad about it, a little bit defeated. I was like, wait a minute, you know,
right. Yes,
but, you know, with maturing in the Lord, I've realized that the Lord delivered me from every anxiety that I was dealing with in that moment. He took it all off my shoulders. All of that was gone. But that was not going to prevent me, even as a saved person, that was not going to prevent me from creating new anxiety for myself.
We have a habit of doing that, don't we?
Yes, yeah. And I surely did. I can still be guilty of working myself up, taking my eyes off of the Lord periodically, and then anxiety will creep back in. But, you know, what a beautiful thing it is now to have understood what it feels like to receive that peace from the Lord, because now I know every time I get caught up in that, I can go back to him and he'll just deliver me over and over again. It wasn't a one-time thing. It's just, I'm getting delivered all the time. And that's amazing. Now, I will say that I don't have panic attacks anymore. It's never returned to the way it was previous. Amen. To being saved. Amen. But he does have to work on me a little bit every once in a while. But now, you know, with the contentment that I feel here, and I guess I could just describe it. You know, I don't know if you remember, but when I got saved, the scripture that the Lord showed me was from Philippians, where it talks about being anxious for nothing.
Yes. Yeah.
And that passage ends with, the peace of God that passes all understanding will comfort your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And now I get that. I get the peace that passes all understanding. And it's just... It's amazing. It really is. And I know that it's interesting for people who know me, you know, my friends. A lot of my friends aren't saved. You know, they're people that I've known all my life. And I feel like they look, and they've said to me, you know, from watching everything that I've gone through, and from a marriage falling apart to almost losing my dad to moving across the country and all the uncertainty that was with... They can't understand how I can feel so peaceful. And that's when I get to tell them how, you know. Yes. It's because of Jesus and no other reason. And then in their hearts and minds, they can wrestle with what that means to them, you know. But
yes, yes. You live to see and experience the fulfillment of that passage.
Yes.
Of scripture the Lord gave. What a testimony that is in and of itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, and I got baptized since I've been here.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that, because you and I, and Kathy, my wife Kathy as well, we've had a lot of conversations about that over the years, about finding the right church, how important it is to be plugged in to the body of Christ, to have that full community behind you and the support and all of that. And I am just overjoyed with what you've been telling Kathy and I. So go ahead and share that.
Well, you know, you're right. You know, I have taken, it has been such a blessing to know you. And I don't know if I can even say how important you've been to my life. I, to this day, I mean, as recently as yesterday, I quote you. I've taken your wisdom so deeply into my heart. You've been such a blessing in my life. And one of the things that you and I always talked about a lot was the importance of church. And you know, in this sort of community that we are involved in, there is quite a strong presence of people who say that, you know, all churches are apostate and don't go to church and, you know, every church is corrupt and all of that. In fairness, a lot of it is because a lot of churches are corrupt. That's you know, I mean,
that's true.
It's not based entirely on fantasy. There are a lot of problems with the modern church.
Yes, right.
Yes. But I just was feeling such tremendous pull in my heart that I needed to be part of a fellowship. Mm-hmm. And I had been just such a free agent for you know, from the time that I was saved. And I had so many problems with the different churches that I did try because I had no guidance. I didn't know what to do. I ended up at churches that were all kinds of wrong, but I didn't know what was right. And so I was so prayerful about it for the Lord to deliver me to a church because I was obviously really bad at picking them myself. And you and I had so many good conversations about the importance of fellowship. And you know, one of the things that you had said that just made such an impression on me is that, and I'm probably going to badly misquote you, but the sentiment was that only in a fellowship of other believers can we really put into practice the love that the Lord commands us to as believers. It's only in that fellowship where we can put into practice loving someone who we wouldn't probably otherwise associate with, but because they're a brother and sister in Christ and they're part of our church family, we get to love on them. And then that helps us in turn be obedient to the Lord's commandments to us to love God and to love each other. Yes. And in a church setting, you can do that.
Right. Yeah.
And so I felt such a pull. And the last time you and I really talked about it, I had not come down here yet. So I was still not in a solid fellowship. I just desperately wanted it. And I'm here. I got here, I think, on a Monday, and by Wednesday, I was in church.
That makes me smile.
And I have, you know, these, my boyfriend, he is a very committed churchgoer, and it's Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I'm not going to lie to you. At first, that seemed like a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted a church, but I don't know if I wanted all that.
What am I, a preacher's kid or what?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It was a little bit overwhelming, and I thought, gosh, how can I, you know, really commit to that? But it was easy because it just felt so right. And obviously that's not to say that everybody needs to go to church three times a week,
right.
But it feels so right to me.
Yeah.
And, I have fallen in love with it's just a tiny little church, Mike. It's like maybe 15, 20 members total.
Beautiful.
And most of them are older than me by about 40 years. but they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Wonderful, believing people who've took to me immediately, and I am so invested in them emotionally, and I love them all so much. And then I ended up getting baptized, which was a hard, it was a hard thing for me to figure out because I was all on my own, and I was raised Lutheran, so I was baptized as an infant.
Yes.
And it was a process of me figuring out, do I need to get baptized again? You know, does the Lord expect that of me? And it was just a process that was unfolded. And then I got convicted that it had to happen. And then I needed to figure out where I was going to get baptized. And it just all unfolded in such a beautiful way. And now I'm a member of this church, and it's, I can't even, it's supernatural, Mike. It's just, you know, how do you explain it?
Well, here's just listening to you, Natalina, here is the word picture that I'm getting. And your cup is running over with the joy
of
the Lord.
That's right. Yeah. It is.
What a
beautiful. And I mean, I don't deserve it any more than anybody else does, but I really take to heart the verse that says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And I've seen that manifest in my life, and it hasn't been without a lot of real bumpy stuff along the way, but you know, it's all worked out so beautifully, and I don't know why, but I don't know why it's all worked out this way, but I'm very grateful.
Amen. Amen. Well, I have to tell you that Kathy and I have rejoiced as we've watched things unfold for you, and because you still have a presence on Facebook, so
yes,
so we follow you there and keep track of what's happening with you, and in addition to our occasional private conversations. But
yes,
we've been very, very blessed to watch that. And I've got a sense that, in fact, you did say it earlier, I believe. You're going to be getting back to producing podcasts here pretty soon. And I think people need to buckle up and get ready for that, because you've got a lot of things to talk about, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do. I took this break because I just needed to get settled in. I needed to get acclimated to, you know, what life looks like for me now. Frankly, I wanted to spend all the time I could with my boyfriend and, you know, and just kind of get used to the new normal, you know. Right. And prior to coming here, my podcasts were so sporadic because of all of the madness that was going on in my life everything else. And now I have an office, I have a studio, I have great equipment. I am ready to jump back into it. And, you know, just a month ago, I was in Roswell, New Mexico, with a bunch of folks at the invitation of Dr. Mike Heiser. And it really inspired me to just be around all of these people that are so passionate about just what the Lord has called them to. And it's so exciting to talk to you too, because I'm really treating this interview you and I are doing right now as sort of the kickoff of getting me back into all of this. And so
wow, what a blessing.
Awesome. It really couldn't have come at a better time. So I'm going to be getting back into Beyond Extraordinary Radio. I have a whole new brand new project that I'm going to be launching, which it's a whole new podcast that is going to be in addition to Beyond Extraordinary Radio. And the idea of that one, it's just kind of a fun thing for me to do. And I don't know if people will respond to it or not, but it's I want to tell stories, true stories that are just interesting to me, that on some level I know will be interesting to the people that listen to the content on Beyond Extraordinary Radio. But I want to, rather than have it through a guest or anything like that, I want to write out a script and present it as a narrative, like storytelling in each episode, because I love to write. Nobody reads blog posts anymore. So, I mean, and I've never written a short blog post in my life. So,
<That's right.
laughs> I just don't know how to do it. So I thought, well, this way I could actually put my creative writing into practice, take these real stories, research them, write a script, and present it in a really interesting way, in a narrative fashion, with, you know, probably ambient music and stuff like that. And so that is coming really, really soon. I have a few episodes already that are being worked on, and I'm calling it Singulari Historia.
Oh, nice.
And that's, Yes. And, you know, everything I do, I always have the extraordinary in it. You know, extraordinary intelligence, extraordinary radio. Then my jewelry is extraordinary boutique. And for this, I wanted to kind of keep it in the extraordinary family, but be a little bit less predictable. So I went with the Latin of Singulari Historia, which just kind of translates to extraordinary true stories.
Wow. That's neat. So yeah. let me ask this, Natalina, are you going to stay?
Yeah.
Are some of the shows going to be in your wheelhouse? And what I mean by that is it going to have a touch or an element of the supernatural?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In fact, you know, I love all of that. Yeah. That's always what's excited me. And I know, and you and I are on the same page on this. We live in a supernatural world, yes. And we have a supernatural God, and crazy, wonderful, weird things happen all around us all the time. And I love to talk about it. And so what I want to do is take these stories that are interesting to me and that pique my interest, not just as a Christian, but as somebody who's just fascinated by this weird world we live in, and tell the stories in such a way that I'm not pushing my opinion. I'm not pushing my agenda. I'm just going to tell the story. But people who know where I'm coming from will understand why I find that story to be important to us. Yes. And but then the other part of it is that I'm hoping that it will bring people who just like to hear a good story into the audience. And maybe through that, it'll funnel back to my main show, where we talk more openly and specifically about matters that are important to Christians. And so it's got a twofold purpose.
Yes, I think that's a great strategy, Natalina. I think that's going to work very, very well for you.
Yeah, I hope so.
So that'll be debuting soon. So folks,
very soon, yes. Very soon. I don't know when this episode is going to get published, but it's very possible that this will be out by the time that your listeners are listening to this.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping, and I will break with my normal routine with this one, because it is a special edition of SER, episode number 100. We will be releasing this just as soon as Kathy gets it edited and it's available. It will be out. So we're recording this on Monday, so I'm hoping that it'll be available as early as Friday, perhaps Saturday of this same week. So.
Well, then I've got my work cut out for me.
You weren't expecting that, were you? Because you know what a backlog I have normally.
But that's good. You know, I kind of need someone to light a fire under me a little bit. Yeah. You can get out of practice really quick if you don't keep the machine oiled. You know, you can kind of have a little trouble getting your feet back in the water. You know, so pray for me.
Absolutely, folks. That's very good. Yes. Please pray that the Lord will bless Natalina getting back in. And, you know, we were sharing earlier before we went on the air that and we are in August now, and I set August aside. Kathy and I have done we've sold our home and moved, and all of our stuff is in storage now. We're building a place outside of town, so I purposely did not schedule anyone to speak with in the month of August, except for you. And to your point that you forget things rather quickly when you don't do them for a while.
Yep.
We both had technical problems trying to get trying to get connected tonight so that we could do this conversation. And
I know, where we all of a sudden went, how do you work this crazy contraption?
That's exactly right. It's like, I don't understand why this isn't working. Everything looks the same. Clearly it's not. You mentioned, let's talk about some of the things that Christians should be paying attention to today. You kind of mentioned that you're going to bring stories and things that are interesting to Christians, but I also hope that there'll be some challenge there for folks. Challenge in a good sense. Challenge in a sense of encouraging folks. The times that we live in, Natalina. Now, and this is not to say that times past have not been troubling. Because they certainly have been. But we're living in some very challenging times for the body of Christ and for our testimony before the world. And so I'm wondering if maybe we could just chat about some of the things that we should be focusing on. And when I say we, of course, I'm talking about individuals, but a collection of individuals makes up the body. And so local churches, what should local churches be doing, in your opinion, right now in these times? What should we be focusing on? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, you're right. This is a weird time, maybe even unprecedentedly weird time, because it seems like so many different things are converging on us, especially as Americans, all at once. Yeah. And it's also really confusing, too, because you have your beliefs and you might have your political affiliations and things like that. But then even from within your own political bend, you're being challenged on, you know, from all sides. And then we've got, goodness, we've got wars and rumors of wars. Let's face it. We've got so much going on in this world, and it can get really scary, and it can be really discouraging even sometimes, especially, you know, here I am talking about all of these wonderful things that the Lord has done in my personal life. And then I look at the world at large, and I think it's so easy to see none of that goodness reflected outward if we're not looking for it. Yes. So the way that I think that the church can be helping people right now, and I believe this strongly, and I don't want people to think that I'm like a Joel Osteen feel-good type of person in that regard, but I do think encouragement is so important right now. Encouragement from the pulpit, encouragement from within the brethren, because we don't want to see people getting discouraged. We don't want to see people losing hope. We don't want to see people feeling like they need to just, you know, hide in their prayer closet until the rapture happens. Right. You know, I mean, you know, but the tendency sometimes is to do that because you just feel so hopeless and helpless in this world. And I would love to see more churches getting involved in encouraging people to not be afraid, encouraging people about the good news, and also just reminding people that no matter what's happening in the world right now, no matter how scary it gets, you know, we've got a crazy dictator on the other side of the world right now threatening us with nuclear war. That's terrifying. But even in the face of that, we already know what the end result is for those of us who believe. So we don't really have to live in this fear. And I think the powers that be want us to be fearful, because fear encourages us to be more easily manipulated.
Yeah.
And you know, and nobody's immune to that, by the way. You know, I think there's a lot of people who are really quick to say, you know, well, if you were awake and you could see what was going on, you would not be, you know, so easily swayed. But that we're all susceptible to it. Sometimes we just don't realize who's manipulating us. We may say, well, the U.S. government is not manipulating me. I can see right through it. But then we're being manipulated by the media. Or if the media can't get to me, I know they're all controlled by the government. But then we're being manipulated by false teachers. You know, you've got wolves coming at you from every side. So rather than telling people to get out of church and get out there and spend all day long on YouTube, I think people need to get into a church, get into fellowship. Stop being so doggone picky that the preacher only says everything that you personally need to hear. And remember that church isn't just about you. It's about worshiping the Lord in a corporate manner with your brothers and sisters in Christ and praying for one another. You know, one of the most beautiful things about the church that I go to right now is that every single service, people can just talk about, please pray for me. Please pray for my cousin. My cousin is sick. My aunt and uncle is sick. And we're praying for one another maybe sometimes three times a service, and everybody takes home the prayer list and we all pray for each other individually. We need that more than ever. Why on earth in this time of all times do we have people encouraging people to come out of the church? I say get into
Amen,
the church.
Sister. Amen. That'll preach, Natalina.
Run to the church. Run
to the church. Exactly. I couldn't have said it better. That is exactly my heart. Folks need to get into a church. Find
yes.
a body of believers. And again, to your point, Natalina, it was a very, very good point. There aren't any perfect churches, and everybody's heard this line before, I'm sure. But if there is a perfect church, then don't join it because it won't be perfect anymore. So get off
yes.
of your high horse and quit thinking that a local body of believers has to be able to meet all of your grocery list of check
yeah.
marks before you'll contemplate becoming a part of that. And open your heart, your mind, your ears, your eyes, and allow the Lord to direct you, because there's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. We're all supposed to
Mm-mm.
be in this together, pulling together in the same direction. There
yep.
are churches out there, and I've told people this before, Natalina, if you're in an area and you don't know of any Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches, because you said this too, and you're absolutely right, there are a lot of bad churches out there. They've just
yep.
kind of given up on the gospel, and they're just more or less a Sunday morning therapy session for folks. And that's sad to say that, but it's true. But if you live in an area and you don't know where there's a good Bible-teaching, Bible-believing community of believers loving one another, loving Jesus, and trying to be engaged with the community, then email me, and I'd be happy to do some research for you and try to find a good church that you might become
yep.
a part of. So that was very
and
good.
And meanwhile, interview. You know, and meanwhile, for people, you know, I understand, because like I said, I searched for a church for a long time, years,
yeah.
you know, but I just want people to be so cautious of only getting their spiritual sustenance from their friends on Facebook who are not qualified to be feeding them in that way. Find someone who is a trusted pastor and listen to their sermons. Listen to Pastor Spalding's sermons. He's got them online and they're wonderful. Find somebody, you know, so many online churches they post their sermons, and you can listen to a good sermon online while you're waiting for the Lord to lead you to a church. Don't sit there and think that it is good enough to watch scary videos on YouTube and listening to people shouting at you on Facebook. You know, that's not enough. You need to have, there's a reason why the Lord calls people to be a pastor, because they are given a specific gift of edification and encouragement in teaching. And it's important for us. It's a critical office, which is why the Lord holds preachers to such a high standard. And we need to be aware of the authority that comes with being a preacher, and submit to that and understand that we need to be fed. We need to stop thinking that we can just be the one shouting our opinions at everybody else, because the Lord did not call me to be anything but Natalina, who just doesn't really know that much and just happens to have a testimony that she really likes to tell. But I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. Do not take Beyond. I've had people write to me and say Beyond Extraordinary Radio is my church. And I say, that is sad. Please do not use my stuff as a, you know, sufficient example of church, because it's not even that at all. And I'm blessed that people get encouragement from it, but
absolutely.
Get into a church, listen to a pastor who's been called by the Lord to feed you, not me.
Amen, sister. Amen. And again, if you can't find one, contact Natalina. I'm sure that she would be glad to help you. If you live anywhere around her, she'll say, come to mine. We'd love to have
There's
you.
Only about 800 churches per square mile around here.
Oh,
so.
My goodness.
It is the Bible Belt.
Amen. Amen. Well, in what time we've got remaining, Natalina, I would like for you to mention some of the other projects that you're working on. You're doing a podcast with Dr. Heiser, and
yes.
I think you have some guests join you occasionally on that too. What is that?
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. It's the one thing that's kind of kept me in the loop of working in this whole thing, and I'm so grateful for it. Mike Heiser, a bit over a year ago now, decided he wanted to do a podcast where we explore all of these interesting supernatural topics that we're also fascinated by, but to attack the questions in a scholarly, reasonable way. And so we take really kind of outrageous topics, and then we say, is there any peer-reviewed journal that has ever discussed this? Are there any qualified researchers and scientists that have run tests to experiment with these different things? And sure enough, almost anything you can dream of, somebody with the right credentials has written done experiments on it and written peer-reviewed journal articles about it. So every topic that we discuss, Mike gives us a number of scholarly articles to read about it, and we get on the show and we discuss the topic after having looked at all of the research. And by the end of it, we determine, okay, is this particular phenomenon real? Does the evidence suggest that it is? Are there alternate explanations for it? And it's never devoid of the biblical response to it. It's always through a biblical lens on top of the scientific and scholarly and academic look at it. It's called Peer Anormal. So it's like P-E-E-R, Anormal. And it's me, it's Mike Heiser, it's his producer Trey, and then we have some regular co-hosts like Doug Overmeyer, Brian Gadawa, and then we kind of like rotate. Pastor Doug Van Dorn, who is so smart and interesting, and then just every once in a while a different person rotates in. But it's just, you can find it either at Dr. Heiser's website, which is drmsh.com, or peeranormal.com, and it's really interesting. We've talked about everything from vampires to psychic animals to, you know, really wild sounding topics, but yet you find really scholarly articles in academia about these topics. So it's been really, really interesting. I think people will really like it. And of course, nobody's more qualified than Dr. Heiser to take on those topics, you know? So it's been great.
That's right. Well, just in the small, small, small chance that somebody that is listening to this conversation, Natalina, but they don't know who Natalina is, where would they find you, your websites and your podcasts and all that stuff?
Well, you can find pretty much everything that I do at one central hub online, extraordinaryintelligence.com. I've got my past archives of my podcasts there. I've got all of the blog posts I've written. If you're one of those rare people who really actually does still like to read, I've got thousands of articles that I've posted over the years there. And, you know, through that, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/beyondextraordinaryradio. I'm on Twitter, although I don't really tweet ever, as poor Dr. Spalding has discovered. It's like
I try to get you tweeting, but you never respond.
I know. I was going to say it's like yelling into the void to try to get me on Twitter. Yeah. But hopefully with this new endeavors, I'll be better at all of that. But yeah, just extraordinaryintelligence.com. And then depending on how Singulari Historia goes, I haven't decided if I'm going to keep it at extraordinaryintelligence.com .com or if I'm going to create its own site and its own feed. We'll see how that unfolds, but you can find all the info right there.
Yes, yes. Well, check those websites out, folks, and keep track of what Natalina is doing, and you will not be disappointed. You'll be very, very blessed. Natalina, I cannot thank you enough for joining me on this episode. I've been looking forward to doing this conversation with you for a long time. I consider you a dear friend and appreciate you very much, and am so blessed at what the Lord has done in your life and moving you to Arkansas and, I don't want to say his name on the air, but connecting you with your beau, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing for Kathy and I to watch. So God bless you.
God bless you, Mike. And, you know, you and Kathy are so special to me. Congratulations on 100 episodes. Here's to 100 more. I know the Lord is in it, and I'm just so proud to be your friend.
Thank you so much, Natalina. That's all for today, folks. Stay tuned for the next episode soon. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.